A lot of people say they don't read the Bible because they don't understand it. And as a Christian, I feel like it's my duty to explain it to you. Welcome to the Ghetto Bible Tales. I'm your host, Jerrica. And here at the Ghetto Bible Tales, we retell Bible stories and discuss biblical themes in a comical yet understandable way. We're going to laugh, but we're going to learn too. So strap on your seatbelt, pop yourself some popcorn, and let's do this. What's up, y'all? It's your girl, Jerrica, and I am back with yet another Ghetto Bible Tale. And today we are going to discuss David, Abigail, and Nabal. I think I said that right. Let's get into this one. First of all, y'all, I want to apologize because it started raining. It's raining outside. So, if y'all can hear the rain in the video, I apologize, but this is one of the only free days I got for filming, and we're just gonna go ahead and do this because I'm on a time crunch. But anyway, So, my last video, I told y'all that season 4 is consisted of mainly of videos that y'all requested. Today's video is no different. This video was requested by Nyla Smith. Or Neela Smith. Girl, if I'm pronouncing your name wrong, I apologize. Her name at the bottom of the screen, Nyla Smith from YouTube, requested this video. And y'all, I'm sorry about this purple light, but it is what it is, okay? I kind of like it. Whatever. So yeah, that's what we want to go over there. So, however, before we can get into this story, we must first discuss the rules of context. There is a video on my channel that is a deeper dive into the rules of context or a better explanation. I will link that video in the description box below. But until then, we're just going to run right through these rules, okay? Rule number one is language. Bible wasn't originally written in English. It's originally written in ancient Hebrew and Greek. Think about that when you read it. Rule number two is history and culture. The history and culture of the Bible is of ancient Israel, honey. Don't you apply no American culture to this Bible because it ain't going to work, okay? Rule number three, reading the Bible as a whole. Do not take bits and pieces, expand on its grand scale, and confuse people. Like, don't do that. That's not cool. Take it as it is, beginning to end, Genesis to Revelation. Rule number four, final rule of context, is the Holy Spirit. Pray, ask the Lord to bestow his Holy Spirit upon you so that it may teach you this Bible. Anyway, those are the four rules of context. Now that we got an understanding of those, let's move on forward into our story. Now, the story of David and Abigail and her husband Nabal takes place in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 25. We're going to be going through the whole chapter. So, it starts a little something like this. Samuel dies. For those of you that don't know who Samuel is a prophet of the Lord, and he was a bit of a leader of Israel for some time before they even, because Samuel was there before they even had a king. Y'all know he was the one who had prophesied that Saul was going to be a horrible king. And I actually have a video with Samuel in it. I will leave a link to that video in the description box. It's one of my favorites. I love that one. And Samuel is one of my favorites in the Bible as well. But anyway, so at the beginning of 1 Samuel chapter 25, we find out that Samuel dies. And so the children of Israel mourn him. They have a funeral. And David, of course, attends his funeral because Samuel was kind of like, you know, David's right-hand man, essentially, because, you know, most of the kings would have, like, a religious person be kind of like a advisor to them. So Samuel was like an advisor to David. And you know, after Samuel, Nathaniel was an advisor to David. But anyway, Samuel died and had a funeral, and David, of course, attended the funeral. After the funeral, David travels to the wilderness of Paran. I could be saying it wrong. Paran. And anyway, David and his men are at the wilderness of Paran because I think they're in the middle of a war or whatever. So basically, him and his military are stationed in the wilderness of Paran. The Bible moves on to tell us about a rich man who had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. And he was in Carmel at the time of this, shearing his sheep. And his name was Nabal, or Nabal. The Bible also states that he's from the house of Caleb. For those of you that don't know who Caleb is, Caleb was someone who was not an Israelite, but he was granted his own portion of the promised land by God because of his loyalty. Y'all might remember Caleb from, he was with Joshua and Moses and them. Like, Caleb was one of the ones, when they went to scout the land, the promised land, and they saw them giants and they were scared. Caleb was one of the ones, like, ain't nobody scared of no giants. I mean, we got the Lord. So he was one of the few people that wasn't scared. And because of that, God decided to grant Caleb his own portion of land in the promised land. And Caleb was not an Israelite. If I'm not mistaken, he was mixed. I think he was mixed with Egyptian. Okay? So he wasn't like a full-blooded Israelite or whatever. So the Bible made sure to let us know that Nabal was a descendant of Caleb. It also says that Nabal was not a great man. He was an evil man, it says. He was harsh and evil in his doings. So he wasn't a good guy. But then it goes on to describe his wife Abigail, who is in deep contrast to her husband. She is described as being beautiful inside and out. So she's a great person on the inside. She got great morals and motives. And then on the outside, she ain't too bad looking. You know, she look good. That's how the Bible describes Abigail. She pretty inside and out. So anyway, as I've stated, David is in the wilderness of Paran. And apparently, Nabal has sheep shearers. Now, Nabal's a rich man. He got sheep shearers in his area as well. And once again, I have said this is during a time of war. So when there is, during war in those days, there would be a lot of, what is the word I'm looking for? When they come like ransack places during times of war, like they'll come to a little town and they'll burn the town down and they'll kill all the men, take the women and children as slaves, and they'll take all the money and gold and stuff. This was during the time that stuff like that was happening. So apparently, some people must have come up against Nabal's servants, and David and his mighty men protected them. Now, because David and his mighty men protected these people, David was expecting some type of thank you from Nabal. A thank you in the form of, you know, food and water or clothes or some money or something, like a thank you, because they didn't have to step in to protect Nabal's people, but they did. So David sends word to Nabal that he protected the sheep shearers, because apparently they had been trying to be raided by the Philistines, or Philistines, however you want to pronounce it. And apparently, according to history and culture, the Philistines, their raids were quite common in that area, so they would do it often. And David and his people decided to protect Nabal's people. So David, when he sends the message to Nabal about him protecting the people, he didn't ask for anything specific. He was just like, whatever you want to give us, we will accept as a thank you for protecting your people. Oh, and at the time, David is not king yet, by the way. I don't know if I even mentioned it. David is not a king yet. He is just a part of the military at this particular time. Saul is still the king. by the way, I don't think I mentioned that in the beginning. So by the way, Saul is still the king at this point. David is not the king yet because Saul is still alive. So he sent word back with the servants telling them to tell their master, you know, let him know how we protected y'all out here and tell him he can send whatever he want to send to us as a thank you. And Nabal was like, as a matter of fact, he mocked David and he was like,
who's David? And who the son of Jesse? Who he think he is? Oh, just because he done cut down a giant, he think he can ask me for something. Man, Negro, please.
Now, that, like I said, David is not the king yet. However, David is still famous. Everybody knows David from his exploits in war. He is a very formidable warrior at this point because he was nothing but a teenager when he chopped down Goliath. So, he is a full-grown man here. And he has been fighting in the military for a while, since he was a teen, y'all. So, David is famous. Everybody knows David. They know what he has done. They know of how he has won countless battles in the name of the Lord. So, he has a reputation. So, even though he's not king, he's still famous. So, Nabal knew exactly who David was. But he, because if he didn't know, he wouldn't have said, well, who does the son of Jesse think he is? That means you know who this, you know David. If you decide to name drop his daddy, you know him. So Nabal was like, I don't know who this little dude think he is, think he can request anything of me. And so Nabal was like, yeah, I'm not sending nothing. If you want to help them people, you help them on your own. I'm not sending you no gift. I'm not thanking you in no kind of way. So David gets pissed off. He got steam coming out of his ears and he was like, I know this dude did not just diss me, because who is the son of Jesse? Like, so anyway, the servants come back, and not the servants, the man, because he sent one of his men with the servants to tell Nabal what he said. So when his man come back, he was like, yo, this dude was making fun of you, talking all that noise. David got pissed, and so David gathered 400 of his men. He wasn't going to take all of them. He left some of them there. But he was going to take a good crew with him to go kill Nabal. Now, I love David. I do. But this was not a godly response. The godly response to this would have been, okay, it is what it is. If he don't want to help us out, you know, God take care of us. It is what it is. God will make a way out of no way. Going to war with this man was not what God wanted him to do. God always makes a way, y'all. Violence is never the answer unless God told you it was. And in this case, God did not tell David to gather no 400 men and go kill Nabal. That's not what God told him to do. But since Nabal mocked him, his ego had been burned. You know what I mean? His ego had been stepped on. So he felt like he had to grab his manhood and go do something about this little dude in the ball. Jesus, on the other hand, I'm gonna do a comparison between David and Jesus. Jesus also dealt with insults like this. As a matter of fact, I think the insults Jesus dealt with were way worse. And Jesus always handled them graciously. And that's how, that's really how God wants us to be, period. And that's one of the things that I've been praying about for myself. Because I have a tendency to respond to people in anger. And I'm the type of person, like, you come at me this way, I will come at you that way times 10. So I am very argumentative. Is that the word? Confrontation ain't no problem for me. I will argue with you. I will fight with you. So that has been my prayer for the past year or so, is that God teach me how to respond graciously, how to respond with love and not anger. And that is what God wants us all to do. That's what he would have preferred David had done in this situation, was to respond with love, respond graciously, and God will handle the if somebody is talking crap about you, if somebody's doing you wrong, please believe me and trust me when I say that God will handle them for you. You won't have to do nothing. All you have to do is stand in the Lord. Stand and trust in God. And he will handle it. I have seen it. I have seen this firsthand. I have seen God. I'm a witness of what God has done for me. I have seen God. I've seen where people have mistreated me and done me so wrong. And instead of me responding with anger like I really, really, really want to, God moved them out of my way. God handled them. And the same thing goes for David here. God already had the situation under control. But David decided to take his own route, which we all do. David decided he was going to kill this man. So David gathers 400 men and they start marching to Nabal's house. To me, honestly, while we on the subject of David, I thought it was real retarded how he responded to Nabal, because at this time, y'all, Saul had been tried to kill David multiple times, and David would have mercy on Saul, and he'd tell Saul he loved him, and I'm just like, nigga, he done tried to kill you. Like, it ain't no secret. Like, it's not a secret that Saul is conspiring to kill David. David knows that Saul trying to kill him. He has seen him face to face try to kill him, and he responded to that dude with love. But this dude, Nabal, David couldn't respond with love. He was like, I'm gonna kill him. But you wouldn't kill the dude that was trying to kill you. Like, Nabal just was like, well, who you think you is? Nabal ain't tried to kill you, but Saul have, and you responded to Saul with love but couldn't respond to Nabal with love. I thought that was real weird of David. I thought that was real wrong of David, like, honestly. But I'm assuming he must have felt like Saul was this person in a higher position, so he must respect him regardless. I don't know what the difference in David's mind was between Nabal and Saul, because both of them disrespect you. Honestly, Saul's was way worse than Nabal's. So I'll be trying to kill Saul because Saul's trying to kill me. You know what I'm saying? But it is what it is, okay. So anyway, David got 400 men and they are trekking to Nabal's house. Now Abigail, who is Nabal's wife, happens to hear about this situation. One of the servants, they run to her and they tell her,
ma'am, we about to die because your husband is stupid. Like, David took care of us. He watched out for us. He made sure that nobody tried to hurt us. He watched out for us. But not because your husband want to be cheap and not pay the man, we all about to die.
Abigail decides that she's going to intervene here. She go and she gathers animals. She gathers clothes. She gathers food. She gathers a little money. She loaded all up on them donkeys. And she riding out to meet David, y'all. So halfway there, David and them halfway there, they meet Abigail. David is, you know, puffed up, his chest puffed up, and he talking about how he finna kill Nabal, how he finna kill all Nabal family. Ain't a person in Nabal house gonna be left living. So, well, love, let me tell y'all something about Abigail, though. What I love about Abigail is she's obviously a woman of God, because the way she came at David, it was perfect, okay? So, Abigail, she gives him, you know, she gives him the gifts or whatever. She gives him the sheep, the wine, the food, the clothes, whatever else she brought on them donkeys. She gives David, and she bows and she apologizes for the actions of her husband. She apologizes for his rudeness and stupidity and drunkenness. And then she reminds David, listen to this. She reminds David that the Lord will deal with his enemies. And then, not only does she say that, she reminds David exactly who he is. She tells him, you're the man, by the grace of God, that struck down a giant. Multiple giants. Y'all know David is responsible for killing almost all the giants. You the man that killed the giants. You the man that has won countless battles in the name of the Lord. You know how you did that? With the Lord. The Lord fought all your battles. You beat Goliath, not with a sword, not with a bow and arrow, with a rock. One rock in a sling. The Lord fought your battle then. He gonna fight the battle now. You don't have to lift a finger. You never had to lift a finger. And she reminds him that God fights the battle. And she reminds him of how he was when he was younger. She reminds him that you always had this fire for the Lord. You always wanted to do what the Lord tell you to do. Let the Lord handle this. And I love that about her. See, some people need to be reminded of who they are. And David needed that reminding, because at this point, he hadn't won a lot of battles. His head was big. His chest was puffed out. Y'all know he was anointed to be king when he was a teen. So he already know the throne gonna be his. So his head is big, and Abigail humbled him. She humbled him in the way of the Lord. See, some of us be trying to humble folks without involving God. See, she involved the Lord. She humbled him. She humbled him spiritually, you know what I'm saying? And David appreciated. One thing I love about this dude, David, oh my God, this is why he's one of my favorite people in the Bible. When you came to David with the truth, when you came to David with the spirit, David listened. And that's a problem that a lot of Christians have. We feel like certain people can't tell us about the Lord. Let me tell you something. God gonna use who you want to use to speak to. Speak to you. He will speak through whoever. And at this point, he spoke through Abigail. And I like how David didn't look down on her. And I like how he wasn't like, girl, you don't know me. Nah, everything she said was spirit-led. Everything she said was spirit-led. And David was receiving it all. He was very receptive of everything that she said. He thanked her for reminding him of who he was and of what his God can do. He thanked her for interceding, because he was about to do something that would have made him step out of the will of God. And he thanked her for that. Oh, because of that, David decided to spare her as well as spare Nabal. He did not march onto the house to kill Nabal. He stopped and they went back to the wilderness. Abigail go home, and when she get home, her husband having a party. She didn't tell him nothing about her taking this stuff to David and David coming. She didn't tell him none of that. She just went home. 10 days later, y'all. 10 days later, Nabal has a heart attack and dies. So God avenged David. David didn't have to lift a finger. Nabal died of a heart attack. And when he died, that left Abigail as a widow, and David married her. So Abigail is one of David's wives. At this point, I think he has two wives, because he is married to Saul's daughter. And then he take on Abigail as his second wife. So she's his second wife. And that's the end of the story, y'all. Like Yolanda Adams said. Is that a Yolanda Adams song? Yeah, I think it's a Yolanda Adams song. The battle is not yours. It's the Lord. David ain't have to go to Nabal and do nothing, because it was already set in stone that he was going to die 10 days later from a heart attack. Nabal could have avoided death by simply doing what his wife did. Because David and his people did not have to protect Nabal's people. They could have been like, demand our folks. Let the Philistine kill him. But they didn't. They protected him. And once again, like I said, David didn't even ask Nabal specifically. He didn't give him a price or nothing. He was just like, whatever on your heart to give, could you give us something? Oh, Nabal could have just sent them some water. He could have sent them some water, y'all. And David would have been satisfied, because that would have been a nice little thank you. No, Nabal was too proud to send them folks a glass of water. And they sat up here and protected your people. That's it. You see, that's just trifling. And trifling got him killed. Being trifling got him killed. So, I mean, it is what it is. That's what happens when you mistreat God's people. God takes care of you. Anyway, y'all, that is the story. You can read that story for yourself in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 25. This story was requested by Nyla Smith on YouTube. Girl, I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing your name, but thank you for requesting this video. If y'all like this video, please like, comment, and subscribe. Share with your friends and your family. If you have a video that you would like to request, please leave a comment on this video or any video on the channel. You can leave a comment at the community tab. You can message me on Instagram. You could go to getabibletest.com, scroll down to the request section, and leave your request there. Whatever Bible story you want me to tell, I will try my best to do. Thank y'all for watching this video, and I will catch y'all on the flip side. Please like, comment, subscribe, follow me on Instagram. All my links are in the description box. Once again, thank y'all for everything. Love y'all. Goodbye. All Ghetto Bible Tug episodes are posted on YouTube simultaneously in video format. Thanks for tuning in. You can follow the show on all social media at Ghetto Bible Tales. Head on over to GhettoBibleTales.com and you can sign up for the mailing list so that you can be notified of updates and other things. You can also request topics or stories that you'd like for me to discuss on the show. Once again, I'm your host, Jerrica, and this has been the Ghetto Bible Tales. New episodes are posted every Wednesday and every Sunday. He's